So, Father's Day. It's an exciting day. We honor all the fathers today, as I mentioned. Whether you are a dad, a father this morning, a soon-to-be dad, maybe you're a spiritual father or a mentor to someone or a group of people, it all counts. It matters. We need you. Dads are so important in the world in which we live in. So whether you're a father, a grandfather, soon-to-be a spiritual father, we honor you today. We honor the men today. It's your day. It's important because fatherless homes are far too prevalent today. We see it everywhere in our society, and that matters. That has consequences, and oftentimes they're serious consequences that these have. As we look around and we see in society, masculinity is under attack in our society. They don't like masculinity. Society wants men to be weak and feminine and less like we were created to be. If society had its way, that's what it would do, is make us men weak and feminine and less like we were created to be. But God created male and female. That's the way he created it. Masculinity is to be celebrated. We're not talking machoism. We're not talking all of these things. We're talking male and female. We're celebrating men today, the fathers, the spiritual fathers, the mentors this morning. So we honor all of the men today. We celebrate the dads. And it is so important, as I mentioned. I worked at this place called the Champion Center in Brooks for several years. I've said this before. It houses men who, for whatever reason, they can't live on their own. Whether it's a transitional place out of a prison or a detention facility, whether it's drugs or alcohol, addiction or issues, mental, physical disabilities, whatever the reasons, there are several, they cannot live on their own and provide for themselves in a full-time capacity. So we would house them at the Champion Center. And over my time there was approximately 24, 26 different men that came through the doors as I worked there. And with the exception of a couple, not one of them had a dad. Not one. And if they did have a dad at some point in their life, dad was abusive or not around or a drunk or an alcoholic or whatever it is that they were. With the exception of a couple, every single one fell into that category. Dads, we need you. We need you mentors. We need you spiritual fathers. We need you uncles, brothers, whoever you are, that you can have people where you influence in a godly, manly, male way. We need you. This message is called Fulfill Your Ministry, and we're going to be in 2 Timothy this morning. So if you have your phones or your Bibles, you're watching, you can turn to 2 Timothy. Men, what the world around us needs, what your family needs, dads, what your kids need, is a man who knows what he believes. We have to know what we believe, but in line with that is we have to know why we believe that. And we need to stand strong in the truth. That's what the world needs. That's what your kids need, is a man who knows what he believes, knows why he believes, and stand strong in the truth, capital T, truth. Because the world around us, it's pretty easy to see. We look around, and the world around us is in chaos. It just absolutely is. There's chaos everywhere. There's crazy things going on in every avenue and every aspect of life. Our kids are being taught, and they're growing up believing that there is no truth. That's what they're being taught. That's what they're believing. There is no truth. They're growing up and they're being taught and they're believing that you make your own truth. You determine what truth will be in your life, and there you go. They're being taught and they're being told and they're growing up believing that everything and anything goes. We need men and we need women. We need dads who will take a stand for truth. Because there absolutely is truth. We need dads and men who will take a stand for reality. Because there is a reality. We need them who will stand for Christ and who will stand for the gospel. Kids need a father, a dad, a man who knows what he believes and why he believes it and is willing to take a stand for truth. 2 Timothy chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 reads, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. They will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Every week, as always, we declare your word, God, is truth. Not our opinion, not our desire, your word is truth. We will allow it to shape us and mold us and change us. We will live by it, Father. We invite you, Holy Spirit, into this room and the room of everyone watching live or this recording later. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would teach every heart, that you would speak to every mind, that you would allow us and help us to experience you in new and unique ways. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, to do among us what only it is that you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, it starts with, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and in his kingdom. The Apostle Paul, he was like a father to Timothy, right? He was a father. He took Timothy under his wing. He kind of guided him. He was teaching him all that he knows, all the issues he went through, all the things he learned, all the lessons that he learned the hard way or different ways. He's teaching Timothy. He's, you know, I charge you. This wording is like it's translated as a solemn and emphatic testimony in a court of law. This isn't just something that's being said, you know, nonchalantly. This is not optional. This is not merely a suggestion. He's not saying this is something that would be good if you did. He's not saying this is something worthwhile. I charge you. This is emphatic, solemn testimony, like in a court of law. This is binding. It's not an option. It's not something that's just simply good to do. Preach the word is what he says. This is to herald, preaches to herald a message. We've talked about this before. You don't need a pulpit to herald the message. That is a way to herald the message, and some of us and some of you may be called to herald the message from a pulpit, but you do not need a pulpit to herald the message. Herald the message at the dinner table. Herald the message by text messaging. Herald the message by having boundaries in place. Herald the message by conversation and talking with other people. Herald the message with how you live your life and choose what you do with your life and in your life in the decisions that you face. What I'm trying to say is the how is not as important as we like to make it. We hear this, preach the message, preach the word, herald the message, and immediately we go to how. What does that look like? How do I do that? What, I don't have the platform. I don't have these things. But it's the actually doing it that matters the most. Just do it. Whatever opportunity you have to herald the message, however that looks, do it. Herald the message. If that's through texting, text the message. If that's through the dinner table, coffee, text, herald the message. Actually doing it matters. And then we're told to be ready in season and out of season. This is interesting because, you know, this has been used different ways, but this really means in season and out of season. Be ready, dads, to herald the message when circumstances are favorable and when circumstances are unfavorable. Be ready, dads, to herald the message when it's popular and everybody likes it, and everybody's talking about it, and when it's unpopular, and nobody likes it, and nobody's talking about it. Be ready, dads, when your kids want to hear it, When they're eating it up, when they're interested and they're excited and they're asking questions and they're full of curiosity and wonder. But also be ready, dads, when your kids don't want to hear it. When they don't want to hear it. Be ready, dads, when it costs you nothing because it's easy and it's just a message and it's just flowing freely. But also be ready, dads, when it costs you what feels like everything. Preach it with words and with your life. Let your kids see that this message matters to you. Because if it doesn't matter to you, why would they care about it? Let your kids see that it affects how you live your life. The decisions that you make, that it affects how you make decisions. Because if it doesn't affect decisions that you make, why would they care? Why would it affect their decisions if it doesn't affect yours? If it doesn't change how you live your life except Sunday morning, then why would it change their life except Sunday morning? Let them see that you make mistakes. Because I'm not perfect and you're not perfect, let them see that you mess it up. But also let them see that you recognize and can come and change course. Get back on track when you fall off the track and keep moving forward in season and out of season. The next part of our text needs to be heard for our day and age. Verse 2 is convince, rebuke, exhort. Notice that it says all three. Convince, rebuke, exhort. All three are there. Your kids need to be taught by you. Because as I said, they're being taught in school, they're being taught in social media, they're being taught by friends that there is no truth, that you make your own way, and that anything and everything goes. They need you to teach them. And that includes convincing, rebuking, and exhorting. I tell my kids, you can ask them, I say that I love you enough to fight for you, even if that means that I have to fight you for you. The world around us will say, we only need the exhorting part from parents. All you need to do is affirm and encourage and build up and everything's okay and everything's good. And it is true that we should exhort and encourage more than the others. But we aren't truly parenting if we only exhort. If we only encourage, regardless of behavior, if we only encourage, regardless of choices that we make, if we only encourage to the detriment of their lives, we are not parenting. Dads, you are not called to be your kid's best friend. You're called to be their dad. You're called to be their father. Convince, teach them, show them the truth. Show them there is a capital T truth. Rebuke, discipline when needed, because sometimes it's needed. We were disciplined. The ones who are disciplined, you can tell the ones who are disciplined. Exhort, encourage, and build up, and give confidence, and show appreciation and love. That is what we're called to do. This is so important. We've shared some reasons why. I shared the experience from the Champion Center. We'll look at some stats in just a bit. But why is this so important? The biggest reason that this is so important is because of verse 3. Verse 3 reads, "For the time will come when they, the world, will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. They will turn their ears from the truth and be turned aside to fables." Does any of that sound familiar? Wow. If you think the world living like that won't affect your kids, you are deceived. It's easy to see. Just look something up on YouTube. I love YouTube. I use YouTube probably daily. But you look something up on YouTube, and I guarantee you will find all kinds of nonsense. All kinds of nonsense. Anyone can make a YouTube video. And when they do, They act like they know what they're talking about. And people believe and follow them. No matter what they're saying. No matter how ridiculous. No matter how nonsense. And our kids are the ones believing and following much of this nonsense. There's a lot of good on YouTube. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of good on social media. But there's a lot of nonsense. And it's readily available. It's right there in front of us. And it's extreme. The world will turn from sound doctrine. That sound doctrine, the word sound there is like, it's uncorrupt. It's to be in health or to be well. It has this idea of wholeness. There's a doctrine. There's a capital T truth that's spelled out for us in our Bibles. That is sound doctrine. It's health. It makes us well. It's uncorrupt. It's whole. It has this sense of wholeness and making us whole. We talked about in the last couple weeks that God, even through trials and various difficult situations, is trying to make us perfect and complete so that we're lacking nothing. He's this idea of shalom, this wholeness that he wants in our life. The world will turn from this sound doctrine, this wholeness, this truth, to fables. That word fables can be a tale, fiction, or myths. In other words, the world will turn from the truth of God's word to made-up garbage that sounds good. Because they have itching ears. Because they'll find for themselves somebody who will teach them what they want to hear. YouTube, you can find it. Whatever you want to hear, whatever you want the truth to be, you can find it. I guarantee you, somebody on there will be talking some nonsense about it. They will turn from the truth of God's word to made-up garbage that sounds good and relieves them of all responsibility. That's usually what it comes down to is we already have an idea, a preconceived idea of what it is we want to hear, of what it is we would like to be true, of what it is we want to be true. And we want that truth and we like that truth because it relieves us of having to do anything. That is not what we're supposed to be. Dads, that is not what our kids need. We are to preach the word. The capital T truth. It says that we are to be watchful. In all things. We need to be watching. We need to know what's going on in the world. We need to know what's going on in our kids' lives. We need to know what's going on in society and the schools. We need to, it says, endure afflictions because hard times come. We need to do the work of an evangelist. And it says we need to fulfill our ministry. Dads, your role is a ministry. You need to fulfill that ministry. Men, dads, the world needs you. Your kids, they need you. Love your kids enough to father them. And if you're not a dad, if you don't have kids of your own, find some kids that you can mentor. Find some kids that you can be a spiritual father to. Find somebody that you can father in a sense. Teach them the word. When it's favorable and when it's unfavorable. In season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort. We need all three. If all we do is convince, but we never rebuke or exhort, we're not fathering. If all we do is rebuke, we're not fathering. If all we do is exhort, we're not fathering. It's all three. Our kids need us to teach them the truth, that there is a truth, that what we do matters, that there is a right and wrong, that there is a moral standard to the world and the lives that we live, that it does matter who we hang out with, that it does matter who we get in relationship with, that it does matter who our friends are, that it does matter what our grades are, that it does matter who we talk to online, that it does matter what we do with our life and the things we do in life. But our kids also need someone to exhort them, to encourage them, to uplift them, to be their biggest fan. to be there when they fall and to be there when they're on the top. Men, there are consequences if we don't do our job. We might like to think that it doesn't really matter, our kids will find their own way. We might like to think that, you know, somebody else will come along and do it, and hopefully they do. Because if we don't, it's on us. If they don't, it's on us. According to Equality Canada, here's some statistics. Children from fatherless families are 10 times more likely to abuse chemical substances, 4 times more likely to be raised in poverty, twice as likely to commit suicide, 9 times more likely to drop out of high school, 70% of teen pregnancies occur in a fatherless home, and those raised in fatherless homes are 11 times more likely to engage in violent behavior and 20 times more likely to be incarcerated in prison at some point. Men, if we don't do our job, you don't have to be a dad to do the job of a man in this world. Kids need you. There's kids around. You can be a coach. You can be a father, you can be a mentor, you can be a spiritual father, you can be in ministry, you can do, there's so many ways that you can influence kids in the world around you. But we need to do it. They need women in their lives, absolutely, but it's Father's Day, so we're talking about the men. The good news, God has given us the blueprint to ensure that those things don't happen to our kids. We can't control them. There will come that day and that time when they're making their own decisions and we no longer have that influence or control. But if we did our job, if as men we influenced, if we convinced, if we rebuked and we exhorted while we had the chance, they have a good footing. They have the best chance as they go and make their own decisions. That's what we're here to do, men. We're here to lead. We're here to be an example. We're here to father like our Father in heaven. Jesus is our example in all things. He lived in the flesh among us, and he said that he only says what he hears the Father saying. He only does what he sees the Father doing. So if we're wondering what we should be doing, if we're wondering what we should be saying, let's look at what Jesus was doing, and let's look at what Jesus was saying, because that's what the Father does, and that's what the Father says. These things are important, these things matter, and our kids need us. So as we close this morning, I just want to read our text today from 2 Timothy 4, 1-5 in the Message version. It states it like this. It says, I can't impress this on you too strongly. God is looking over your shoulder. Christ himself is the judge, with the final say on everyone, living and dead. He's about to break into the open with his rule, so proclaim the message with intensity. Keep on your watch. Challenge, warn, and urge your people. Don't ever quit. Just keep it simple. You're going to find that there will be times when people will have no stomach for solid teaching, but will fill up on spiritual junk food, catchy opinions that tickle their fancy. They'll turn their backs on truth and chase mirages. But you, keep your eye on what you're doing. Accept the hard times along with the good. Keep the message alive. Do a thorough job as God's servants. That's what we're called to do. That's who we're called to be. And how do we do it? What staples do we need in our life? Well, I'll just leave you with 1 Corinthians 16. Verses 13 and 14 read, be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are a father to us. We thank you that no matter how our life on this earth was with our Father, we thank you that you are the good Father. That you give good gifts to your children, that you'll never leave and you will never forsake us, that you are perfect in every way and that you love us with an everlasting love. God, we pray for the men today. We pray for those men in this room and those watching this live in the recording. We pray for these men that, God, if they are fathers at this moment, that you would equip us, Holy Spirit, that you would show us how to be the best fathers that we can be to the kids and the people that you've placed in our lives to influence. If we're not a father at this moment, Lord, show us places and people and kids that we can mentor, that we can be a spiritual father to, that we can coach, that we can have an influence in some way for you, Lord. We ask for your anointing, Holy Spirit, as we do this, that you would equip us with every need, with every ability, with power to do this work, that we would know your truth and that your truth sets us free so that we can give that to others. Help us to be watchful, Lord. Help us to understand the times and the seasons and the world around us. Help us to see and know what's going on. Help us to have the boldness to stand firm in our faith. Help us to, in the best way for our kids, convince of truth, rebuke when necessary, and exhort in all things. Help us to do what you've called us and put us on this earth to do. Preach the word. To herald the message. Help us to not worry about the how, but to just actually do it. We thank you for your goodness, God. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. And we recognize that the only reason we can do any of this is because of Savior Jesus. Your work on the cross, your resurrection from the dead, and the Holy Spirit that lives in us. So we thank you, Father, for fathering us. And we ask your blessing and your anointing on every man and every father as we go forward to be like you. In Jesus' name, amen.